Let's see. If you're here for SJR 31, we're not going to do 31. It's Senate Bill 970.
Hang on. Go a little slower, will you?
She's the captain.
31, yes, Senator Fortune is on.
And 970.
Okay. Just needing a little time there, Colonel? Okay.
And one, is that it? And 965.
Wait, what's happening on that?
Just got amendments this morning. I didn't, things still wet.
Well, with my phone having to be disconnected over it, probably just the door for life. I don't know how your phone is.
Do I have to do this again?
Who brought that bill?
No one that apparently.
Who gave you that idea, Gene?
Peter, you can't.
All right, let's open the public hearing on public testimony for redistricting committee. We have your little packet there of information we have received. Don't have anybody signed up. Redistricting going once. All right, we will close that public hearing.
We have some legislators in the office.
Let's see, Krupp, Beck, is that it? You'll probably take the more, Jeff, you'll be quick. Okay, we'll open the public hearing on Representative Krupp's bill, which is.
You know, she's got a little blue hanky in his little, a little blue hanky. The color.
Getting him to speak up too, will you please?
House Bill 3107, yes, Senator Brown.
He's going to sit with, this is a performance.
Been chewing that spearmint again.
We have what?
I want to see if he's trying to keep it safe. He's trying to keep it.
This is the Albany Volunteer Firefighter Bill, is that correct?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I am State Representative Jeff Krupp, and no, I will not perform for you today.
Carl Wilson votes here.
Thank you.
We have other Senate members who are performing today.
I don't think anyone could ever outperform the good senator from Salem.
I think there's some people who can come close.
I didn't know that Durfler was an actor.
Mr. Chair, yeah, this is the volunteer firefighter relative bill. And what we've done is we had a concern that was raised that perhaps this proposed change in the statute might be construed as to cause problems in regards to legislators in the normal course of our business being subject to a penalty in regards to accepting food and gift beverage. It was thought that it might cause problems with the current statute or rulings in that direction. So to try to clarify that, we've come up with a language that clarifies it, and I think it's pretty clear. And
The dash ones, are they okay with everybody?
Yep.
All right.
Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 3107.
Senator Cordy moves dash one to House Bill 3107. Further discussion, objection?
Chair, I move House Bill 3107 to Senate floor, do pass recommendation.
Senator Cordy moves House Bill 3107 as amended to the floor, the do pass recommendation, objections, discussion, hearing none. So ordered.
Yeah, move on to the next item as soon as possible because I was not thrilled with that performance at all.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee.
Is anything I've ever heard?
I just want to thank you all so much for your time and attention.
Yeah, okay, careful. You want to leave because you're like to get some work done here.
By the way, I would just like to say, Mr. Chair. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to invite Senator Cordy to go flying with me.
Yeah, you know, everybody knows you own an airplane, aren't you? A big time guy. Go fly your plane, folks.
This is a public hearing on the C bill. House Bill 3323.
You did two already?
Representative Beck.
Several. Where have you been?
It's Representative Beck.
3323.
You like it? What did you do?
Yeah, he's a pistol on this one.
Troublemaker,
too. Did you
hear that?
Yeah, you know, look at him. He's
funny. I was a little chap.
Is this the chap who bounces all around the agenda, too?
I'm feeling pretty.
I'm trying to be polite for our neighbors across the way.
You know what they say about three trees and one bill?
3-3 and 1 bill? Is that
three?
What is this bill?
They're not paying any attention to my committee members. Just go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, good afternoon. Representative Chris Beck from House District 12. I'm here to advocate for House Bill 3323. This is a piece of legislation that I've been working with Representative Knope on. I had a separate bill, but we've amended provisions into his bill. It's got a lot of names on it, so we decided that would be better. This bill involves the labeling of measures that are placed on the ballot before the voters, and what we're trying to do here is put a C after a constitutional amendment so that voters will know which ballot measures will actually amend the state's constitution. Additionally, we have tried to structure the bill so that constitutional measures will be grouped and statutory measures will be grouped. We're asking you to work on the A2 amendments, which stipulate that statutory measures would be placed first on the ballot and then constitutional measures. And again, the constitutional measures would have the letter C following them as voters work down the ballot.
The letter A was in use?
The letter A the letter A is always being used by somebody.
Hello.
And I believe the Secretary of State's office is here to comment. I believe they are supporting the 2-A2 amendments. Is that correct? You don't.
Three or two.
We got twos.
Do you have
threes
the
and two?
Is the fiscal in on this yet?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Senator Moore, I don't believe it.
I'm trying to help.
Well, Representative Beck and I have talked about
Mr. Chair,
potential fiscal impact of this.
I do not believe there's
Mr. Chair, Senator Courtney,
you referred to the two amendments, Senator Beck?
Inc. That's true. The only potential fiscal impact might be on the added ink that the state might have to use to, and the counties would have to use in printing the ballot. Senator Miller pointed that out to me today on the floor.
Probably all capital measures.
So that's more ink.
Further questions?
No, I didn't. So the A2.
Senator Atkinson.
Representative Beck, would you say this is a truth in advertising bill?
I think that would be a good way to describe it, truth in advertising. Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's a Sesame Street
bill. I could have asked a stupid question.
And tell me, interesting, Beck, what the problem is we're trying to fix here.
I don't know if it's so much a problem. I wouldn't put this in the category of addressing a huge problem. I think as the number of ballot initiatives in the last decade has expanded consistently with each election, I think voters are often concerned with dealing, not sure when they're dealing with something that amends the Constitution and when measures are statutory. Of course, some voters are very well informed about that. Others are a little less informed. This is just a way to help improve how people make their decisions so they will know when they are taking the step to amend the state's constitution and when they're taking the slightly smaller step of amending the statutes. And this isn't going to change life as we know it. It's just one added little tiny improvement to the initiative system and the referendum system that we have here in the state, and I think make people a little more informed, a little more cognizant of what they're doing when they get their ballots at home and cast their ballot.
Aren't they all prefaced with the men's constitution?
Yes, they are. That's when that is the case. And this will just add one more little bit of truth in advertising. Of course, some people don't necessarily read the language, or they may read it at one point, but then they get looking at the ballot and they're just looking at the numbers, and having the C there will remind them once again, oh yeah, this one's constitutional. It's a big deal. It's a little bigger than statutory.
The ballot caddy.
Can you tell his name with a C or a K?
Further questions? Okay, thank you. Ed Dennis.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Ed Dennis, Secretary of State's office. I think we just sort of look at this one similarly to your renumbering bill that Senator Yee, that you all passed through. This is another effort to add a little bit of additional clarification. We support the concept of grouping the measures as just one more way to delineate which of these measures are constitutional and statutory changes. And one thing came up in discussions outside of this room was maybe you'd have voter fatigue if you had some of them grouped at the end or whatever. And the chart I've given you, the yellow line at the top, just I think clearly shows that there isn't voter fatigue along the ballot measures. You can see the up and down sort of total votes for ballot measures, constitutional and statutory, all the way down the line. The pink and blue lines are the yes-no votes. So, you know, we support the bill and think it's a good idea. It's going to help people a little bit make their determination about what they're up to.
And for the committee, there's two different, the dash twos and dash fours. One is mine, one is Representative Beck's. Can you talk to the problems with both of them?
Which one's yours?
Dash fours.
So we're going for the twos, is that what you're saying?
You mean?
So Mr. Chair, we support keeping them grouped, and so that would be the dash twos. I believe on the dash fours, you take out the grouping but leave the letter C in the bill. And, you know, frankly, it's just a sort of a shade of how much more you're delineating what's statutory versus what's constitutional for the voter. We think the grouping will work fine you know.
How much time do you lose if you wait to group them? Sequentially.
2 or 3 weeks, it'll slow you down a little bit for a constitutional measure.
Is that a big deal?
It doesn't seem like when you weigh that additional information for the voters, if you're putting providing information for the voters, that would be okay. I haven't heard from any of the chief petitioners or folks who are active in this area who said they have any problem with this on the other side or over here.
Okay. Any further questions? All right. Let's close the public hearing on that one.
What are the A3s?
They're conflict amendments. If we elect to do one or the other with Senator Yee's bill, the numbering bill, I can remember that one, or are we numbered?
So we have to, if we're going to do the bill, we got to do the A3.
Yeah, we got to do an A3 in there. So
all right.
That's what that would be. Okay, Representative Beck and I will wrestle about the A2s versus the A4s, and we'll let you know who wins the match.
Oh, we're done?
Yeah. All right, Senator Starr here, 969, or somebody. Okay, let's open the public hearing on Senate Bill 969.
Okay.
Yeah, amazing. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Gabe Winslow. I'm the legislative assistant for Senator Charles Starr. Basically, we're bringing to you Senate Bill 969 as a bill that would address the voter's pamphlet and statements made within it. Real quickly, what the bill does is if you file a statement against a measure, you know, Measure X, under the 4 section, and yet you fill the column with arguments that are actually in opposition to the bill, simply makes that open to a civil cause of action by a private party. The idea of the bill was to cause a deterrent for filing false opinions under sections contrary to what the opinion actually was. And that's pretty much what the bill does. I believe there's some amendment that there should actually be some amendments that change it. The original bill wasn't civil cause of action, so there should be some amendments to change that. It basically makes it a civil cause of action if you file a statement under a, for example, Measure 7, and you file under the voter pamphlet statement in support of Measure 7, and yet your arguments are actually in opposition. It simply says that it's kind of like a false statement idea, false advertising type of idea, and the bill is meant as a deterrent to that type of false filing, if you will.
Senator Brown.
Sharon, I...
Ted, come on down here. We got a question for you.
That's who I really would like, is legislative council.
All right.
I mean, from my perspective, this bill, even with the amendments, raises some free speech issues.
There is actually some question about that.
Let's get this. Okay. Ed, you signed up.
I think, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I don't know if there was a memo that Ted was going to write, and I don't know. You guys have that? Okay.
It's really expensive. That's why I thought it'd be better if someone did.
Okay, I hadn't actually seen it yet, so Ted and I had talked.
So how would this, I can't remember the specifics, but I think it was the cycle before the current one where somebody actually paid their $200 and put an advertisement in. Had nothing to do with the measure, just put it in there. How would that apply to that?
I think that was Mr. Chair, Senator Barr, that was the idea behind the bill was there was a couple instances. This is a bill that a constituent requested, and the idea behind the bill was that if you file a statement, for example, like the advertisement, and we've been trying to work with Ed and the Secretary of State's office. The goal is not to burden the Secretary of State's office, but to add a deterrent by saying, if you're another party, for example, the people pushing whatever measure it was that had the advertisement, and it was detrimental to your cause that they added it, put an advertisement in there instead of an actual opinion, then the idea was that serves as a deterrent. So people say, wait a minute, if we do advertisements or false statements, there could be civil action against us.
What if they just wanted to be neutral and put some observations in about the measure?
We have the bill states they have to have intent to mislead. So in other words, if they file under the 4 section to be prosecutable, if you will, or to have civil action brought against them, there would have to be intent to mislead. In their statement. So if it was neutral, then they should be safe.
Ted, come on in. Ed, go ahead.
You got it.
No, you sit there. You give your testimony. We'll get to the lawyer last. They have a tendency to monopolize
in the
hearing if you let them in the middle here.
What would that be all about?
Too much time on judiciary.
Yeah.
For the record, Ed Dennis, Secretary of State's office. We support the bill with the amendment. We had a meeting with the constituent, Mr. Mabon, early on in the session, and could really quickly and easily see what the issue was. You may remember on Measure 9 this last time, there were several arguments that were rather sardonically worded to make a point. They were arguments that were put in favor of a measure that one would argue weren't. And we hope that the voters' pamphlet is seen as a reliable and useful tool for voters, and so we very much support an effort, if it stands up, and it's a challenge, to deter folks from putting in arguments in favor or advertisements in favor or opposed where they don't belong.
Yeah.
So this represents a bill that both the constituent requesting it and the Secretary of State's office support.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Senator Brown had a question, Ted, on...
Can you sort of give us your 3-page memo or a sentence or two with the amendment?
That'll be hard. For the record, Ted Reutlinger, Legislative Counsel's Office. With the original bill and with this amendment, I just wanted to let people know that it seems to me that this concept raises free expression issues under the Oregon Constitution. I can't tell you that the bill is or is not constitutional. However, my concern arises from the fact that at some point in this process, a court will have to make a determination based upon the content of political speech. So the way this is drafted, somebody would be subject to, under the amendments, a private cause of action for filing a false affidavit. But in order to determine whether or not that affidavit was in fact false, the court would have to look at the content of the speech. And under the methodology that the Oregon Supreme Court has adopted for free expression, laws that are directed specifically at the content of speech are in serious trouble. If, however, you can construe the voter's pamphlet as state communication instead of communication by the person who's filing the argument, and you can get to the point where you can argue that the state has some control in the voter's pamphlet about what is printed in there and what isn't, then you might be able to regulate the content of the things in the voter's pamphlet more than you could other political speech. The other issue that I think comes up with the private cause of action is this. This language is based upon the current false statement statute, which, as you know, if somebody makes an alleged false statement in a campaign, you have to go after them through a private lawsuit. The Secretary of State doesn't get involved in that. This language is taken from that statute. My concern is with, I think an issue arises in the case of somebody who files a false affidavit is now subject to a lawsuit by a member of the public, the way it's written now, or a political committee. If somebody's aggrieved by that false statement, I can't figure out specifically who would be aggrieved, and secondly, exactly what the damages would be. If you're a candidate and somebody makes a false statement against you that's actionable, you may have economic damages, non-economic damages. You may even have lost the election because of the false statement. In this case, if the statement is in the voter's pamphlet in the wrong section, in other words, it opposes the measure instead of supports it, I'm not sure how a court would determine what the damages would be. I'm not exactly sure if the court could determine that somebody was, in fact, actually aggrieved or damaged by that conduct. So that's a basic summary of the three-page memo.
Well, it's not so much as being placed in the wrong section as being a statement that says black is white, support, oppose, but... Okay.
I have a question here. We have in the Judiciary Committee the slap suit bill that would, I guess, set up a special motion to strike process for actions or suits that would be filed against somebody where there's a, you know, perceived wrong or false statement or something. And there's a pretty substantial protection for free speech, things that arise out of free speech. I'm wondering how this kind of relates to, or if it would. It seems to me that you'd be able to use the motion to strike, because obviously anything related to a lawsuit that would arise from this would be for free speech. Engaging in politics, I assume, unless it was blatantly false, criminally false. I don't know if I'm making any freaking sense or not, but oh well.
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, one thing about this bill is that it wouldn't apply to the falsity of anything that's actually in the voter's pamphlet. In other words, the statement that appears in the voter's pamphlet could be completely true, have nothing in it that's false, nothing in it that's misleading. What the bill attempts to punish is somebody who says that they intend the measure to support the argument to support the measure, when in fact the measure
to see
the argument
about it.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that free speech too?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, yes.
So that kind of gets to the point. If someone were, I was thinking of the, was it Measure 9 or whatever,
yeah,
that where you had a lot of satirical kind of comments. If someone were to come in and check the box if this was law and said in opposition, but then had a very outrageous, I'm in favor of this bill because it does all these outrageous things, would they be in violation?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, that's what a court would have to figure out. They would have to look at the statement. They would have to look at the intent of the person who filed the argument and then determine from that whether they thought that the person knowingly intended to do the opposite thing, which is would be a very difficult thing to show, I think.
It'd be a very high bar to prove in court, but so? I mean, is that a bad thing? Thank you.
Mr. Chair. I'd actually like to address Senator Mintz's point a minute ago as to whether or not that would be free speech. The intent was not to regulate someone's free speech to make that statement. The idea behind it was similar to, and I think on page 2 of the of Ted's opinion, it talks about the Higgins versus DMV case, where your license plates are considered a state property, if you will, the license, and they limited certain words and expressions from being used on the license plates, so the idea behind it was that that we don't want to limit any other free speech, but the voters pamphlet, kind of like Ed said, was they do look at it as something that's reputable and respectable, and for a lot of people that's the only thing they get to see when they're looking at the election time and time to vote. So the idea was not so much that we're trying to limit free speech, but on a state document, we're just trying to make sure that all statements line up is true. That was kind of logic behind it.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems to me there's a bit of a difference in terms of what you put on a license plate that's really state property that they control, as opposed to something that's in a political forum. It seems to me that the right of free speech as it relates to politics and political debate is pretty substantial, but who knows? I'm not a Supreme Court judge.
And the answer is I don't think we have a sure answer on that.
So, Mr. Chair, Gabe, could you kind of walk through, I assume this is targeted at the voters' pamphlet statements that were filed, quote, in favor of ballot measure 9, the fellow that wrote the fairly facetious comments. Sort of how do you see this working? You're trying to prohibit that sort of thing.
You know, actually, when I worked on putting this together, I was not even aware. I just became aware of the statements today. Ed and Fred showed me those in their office. I hadn't seen those before. The idea was, at least it was given to me when I was working on this bill, was that it would be to serve more as a deterrent. Not so much the idea, and I actually had some personal concerns about the amount of lawsuits that could have been filed as a result. We kind of hashed this out with Ed and Fred Neal, and my concerns about that were relieved. But the idea was that this would serve more as a deterrent than an actual mechanism to go after people. This is more as a deterrent for when someone went to file a statement and they saw, you know, if you file a for statement that's actually for and an against column or vice versa, you know, you could be subject to a civil cause of action. So the intent of the bill was more to serve as a deterrent, if you will. At least that's the way I saw it as I was working on it.
Ed, do you guys feel comfortable? This is a very minor issue, but it's an issue that this might address or... we should address.
Yes, Mr. Chair. We want the voter's pamphlet to be read and understood and believed.
Where are we? Give me some thumbs here. All right. Well, give me some other thumbs.
What would you like, Mr. Chairman?
I think it's okay. We got the.
You're thinking about a letter, a C next to a correct statement. Okay.
All right. So public hearing open for work session. We got some dash ones here, Senator Cordy. Senator Cordy moves the dash one, says Senate Bill 969. Objections on the amendments.
Object.
Senator Minnis, Senator Brown, and. Wait a minute. You didn't give me that thumb earlier. All right, I'm closing the work session. When I say thumb, I mean a thumb.
I gave you a pretty clear signal.
All right. Okay, let's open the public hearing on Senate Bill 747.
Ooh, the airplane.
Work session, 747.
All right.
We had some amendments. Mr. Burke, where are we?
Greetings, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. First of all, I'd like to begin by thanking you for the time you spent as I've been lobbying you on this bill. I hope I haven't been too persistent about it. But I think this is a really good bill, and I think this is a really good bill, and there are two amendments that have been drafted to meet some of the concerns that some of you had about this. The bill, of course, eliminates the ability of a minor party to win major party status by winning 15% of the vote in a single statewide election. The original form of the bill also made major party qualification law parallel to minor party qualification law, whereby a minor party would be able to, through voter registration, achieve major party status within...
Did you get the votes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Close public hearing, open work session.
Thank you, Chair.
I do have a question.
Okay. We have a question.
Could you talk to me, Richard, about the difference in numbers that happened from the original bill to the modifications?
No, Senator Brown. The number is now from 3% to 5%, which represents about 94,000 voters.
Dash 2, Senate Bill 747.
Senator Courtney moves the dash 2, the Senate Bill 747. Objection, hearing none, so ordered.
Senate Bill 747 is set forward to pass.
Senator Courtney moves Senate Bill 747 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We need thumbs, you can just vote. Yeah. Okay, and no objections, hearing none, so ordered. Senator George, want to carry that one?
Senator Shield,
that's right. Okay,
thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, close the session on Senate Bill 747. Moran, are you here for, what are you here for?
Yeah.
Okay. 3376.
Pretty good.
You wasn't being on bill. 3586.
Open the public hearing on House Bill 3586. Excuse me, Miss Beth. Did you see Representative Carlson in the room?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dwayne Bales with the Speaker's Office. And if you think you've seen this bill before, you have. This is House Bill 3586. It passed out of both the House and the Senate without any opposition. And just as it was headed, I believe, to the governor's desk, we heard from the Attorney General's office that there was a little problem with the bill. There was one section that they felt, or actually a line in four sections that they felt was not needed, that it was basically duplicating what was already in statute. So we have offered amendments, an amendment to the bill, the dash fives, which takes out that section.
Okay, these fix it?
It should, yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash 5 amendment. Mr. Chair, I move the dash 5 amendment to House Bill 3586.
Senator Courtney moves the dash 8 5 amendment to House Bill 3586.
Aye.
Okay. All right. No objections, hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3586 amended to Senate floor due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 3586 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are you sure this is right this time?
We hope so, Mr. Chair. We're sure.
Not.
Yeah. We think it's right.
Hearing none, so ordered.
Go fish.
Who wants to carry this one?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No, he wants
to be up. I'm a disabled veteran.
This one, yes.
I'm a disabled war veteran.
First time?
Senator
Atkinson. We did the speech the first time.
We did it first time.
Yeah, you did it first time.
Becker?
Oh, God. I don't know. Okay.
No, you did it right this time.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't do that.
I'm doing up real good.
I'm sure one of them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's your next victim?
This is not a yo-yo.
Good job, Marjorie.
Atkinson.
What's that?
This is not a yo-yo.
Yes,
who's
sir.
Next?
It's not right to do you, Steve.
Call him.
Oh, that's going to be a good.
Time's up.
Yeah, let's just.
Which one?
What about the Jack?
Don't you and John move the bill and then not hear it? Bill's dead. Hey, Bill's dead.
Somebody here for. Open the public hearing on HCR 12.
Yeah.
City of Jacksonville's 150th anniversary.
Mr. Chair, I move to HCR.
Hang on, I'm just moving something.
Mr. Chair, just open the public hearing.
What? I'm sorry?
Or a work session?
Work session.
Mr. Chair, I move
open work session on HCR 6. Can somebody testify?
Six. You said 12.
I changed my mind. I'm allowed to change my mind. 6.
What's six? What is six?
Thank you, Chair Hopper, and members of the committee. My name is Lanny Parr with Private and Fraternal Organizations, and we represent approximately 300,000 members statewide, and we thank you for having a hearing on this. It's a
you're very welcome. We're delighted you're here, Senator Courtney.
I move HCR 6, the Senate for the DuPass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves HCR 6 for the DuPass recommendation. Objection, discussion, hearing, and so ordered. I would like the fraternal organizations one. Senator Beyer?
Yeah, he owns, he's a member of the Elks and all of them.
Lions.
Bobcats. How about 8A? You want to do 8A while we're at it?
Let's do 3376 before we get here.
How about 8A? You want to do 8A? How about 8A?
3376, let's do that.
I have a question about 3376. There's some folks here on that, are you even here?
Here to testify?
On what? We haven't had the hearing on that yet.
Let's have him just go ahead and do it.
Let's just rip.
That's probably why you have questions.
Why don't we rip 8A and 12?
How about,
Mr. Chair, you guys be quiet. I'm running this committee. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2656.
I move.
Representative Cruz, you be quiet.
That's a tall order.
Which one are we? Which bill?
Man, he's looking. Look at that suit he's wearing.
No, he killed my colon bill. Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's a colon bill.
Which bill did he kill?
You know what? I'm sure that the...
Representative, just go ahead and talk.
You know, and I'm not... We had always heard that the Senate didn't have any fun.
What is the problem we're trying to fix here?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, State Representative Jeff Cruz, District 45. The problem we are trying to fix here is to get some accountability in government, which I always think is a good thing. And historically, we have seen agencies who will leave positions unfunded for sometimes legitimate reasons, sometimes reasons that we don't know about, and suddenly they will find pots of money and shift them into other things. And all this bill quite simply does is say that if an agency is going to make a shift in funding or FTE that's significant from what was legislatively approved, if they have to come and tell us about it. That's really all it does. It's something that they probably should do, but they don't always do.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Accountability.
Okay.
All right.
One's Mr. Two Amendments.
There's two.
I'm okay with the dash twos. We didn't want to include the Department of Treasury or the Secretary of State's office. They are
executive branch, independently elected.
So that was an oversight. So the dash twos are okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's bump the hearing. Work session. Senator Courtney.
Mr. Chairman, dash two amendments to House Bill 2656.
Senator Courtney moves the dash two amendments. House Bill 2656. Discussion, objection, hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman of House Bill 2656, the Senate floor, DuPass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 2656 as amended to the floor with a DuPass recommendation.
What?
Was that an easy motion?
Okay. Any objection? Okay. Objections, hearing none, so ordered. To Senator Carrier, Senator Miller. I guess we should have done that one last.
3376.
Do we have? Who's here?
A couple of folks must be signed up
that I don't know about.
Who's the? We have somebody signed up.
That's not what we're doing.
That's my iron worker.
Oh, well, what's that have to do with you getting mad at the last job?
Well, what's the point?
Okay.
Why'd you get mad?
Oh,
have anything to do with Bill?
No.
Well, let's
here.
Let's wait for her, then. Let her lead. How about anybody here for HCR 8, Paul Olin Memoriam?
I'll just move it. Let's just move it.
Okay. That's good. Work session, HCR 8.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 8 to the Senate floor, do pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves HCR 8 to the floor, the do pass recommendation.
Your wife. I know, I get interrogated.
Objection, discussion, hearing none, so ordered.
I'm a
minor. HCR 8.
I was gone, though.
I'll carry it.
Yeah, Mary Jo, carry that one?
What is it?
HCR 8.
President of University of Oregon, former president of University of Oregon.
Great guy.
No, that's not where I asked.
Mm-hmm.
Mr.
Chair?
Well, that's a U of O professor.
Thank you.
Why don't you pick Senator Butter? Senator Brown.
Is Representative Minnis testifying yet on 3376?
No, that's what we're about to do. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I have a question for
you. Okay. We'll open the public hearing on House Bill 3376. Representative Minnis, welcome to the Senate.
Do you want to just move the bill, Mr. Chair?
I tried it before you got here. They wouldn't do it. They wanted your testimony.
Mr. Chair, I have one question before we move the bill. Representative Minnis, I think this looks like an excellent bill and long overdue. My question is, the task force doesn't require that any the participants be women. Are you committed to making sure the Speaker and the Senate President and other folks who are charged with appointing it will appoint at least a representative share of women on the task force?
I think that would be the prudent thing to do, Senator.
Thank you.
You guys are okay with the bill?
Okay.
Everybody happy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Close public hearing. Open work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3376, Senate floor, do pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 3376 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any objections?
If the token female on the committee, I would like to be the carrier.
What about Minnis?
He's not the token female.
I can be.
No, Senator, you can't be.
Hearing none. Senator Brown will be the token carrier for this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You made her come all the way up there.
Oh,
where the hell's my agenda?
HCR 12. Mr. Chair, I move House.
Well, that was good. Open the work session on HCR 12.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 12, Senate floor, do pass recommendation.
Yep.
Senator Courtney moves HCR 12, floor with a do pass recommendation. Objection, discussion. Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Atkinson, is that yours?
Giddy up.
Giddy up. Okay.
What is that?
We're
down to all right.
34, with Representative
Carlson
is
black.
Where is
Goldenlock?
Here.
34, you guys okay with 34?
Mr. Chair, I move.
Testimony. Open the work session on HCM 34.
Mr. Chair, I move HCM 34 to the Senate for due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves HCM 34 to the
due floor of the due pass.
Okay, tell her to. Moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objection? Any discussion? Hearing none, so ordered. I am the token tri-care, so I will carry this.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty.
That it, Craig?
That's it.
All right, with that, we're adjourned.
Oh, my God.
Alrighty.